Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to actress Rose Marie. That's right, Rose Marie, Sally Rogers from The Dick Van Dyke Show. Stick around, and please don't trip on that hassock. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, brought to you today by the Stitcher app for mobile devices. Give it a test drive today at stitcher.com/mrmedia, Mr. Media. I love this free radio app, and I think you will too. stitcher.com/mrmedia. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of TV Land executives trying to figure out the premise of a Hot in Cleveland spinoff starring Dick Van Dyke, Mary Tyler Moore, and Carl Reiner called The Rose Marie Show in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. She was the live wire, wisecracking, anything but predictable female comedy writer on The Alan Brady Show, the show within a show portion of The Dick Van Dyke Show. And yes, that was 50 years ago. And yes, Rose Marie is still working, still getting gigs, and still making Betty White look over her shoulder and go, "Really?" Because the show has been in repeats for decades, the actress who played Sally Rogers for 5 seasons on one of TV's finest sitcoms ever is known the world over. But that was hardly the last the world heard from Rose Marie. In addition to 2 seasons as Myrna on the Doris Day Show, her guest starring appearances have included everything from The Monkees and Adam 12 to The Love Boat and Murphy Brown. And let's not forget all those spots on Hollywood Squares. Rose Marie is here today to talk about her career, of course, but also to bring attention to the California Women's Conference, at which she'll be among the celebrity guests at the Long Beach Convention Center on September 23rd and 24th. The event, which also features actress Tippi Hedren, the female cast of The Waltons, attorney Gloria Allred, and singers Melissa Manchester and Helen Reddy, is a forum for the world's most influential voices, hearts, and minds. You can learn more about it at www.californiawomensconference.com. Rose Marie, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. You seem
to be pretty busy.
Seem to be, maybe. You sound terrific.
I feel fine. Thank you.
That's terrific. I think it's safe to say that most people today would recognize your name and that voice, no doubt, instantly from the Dick Van Dyke Show. But
yeah, everybody recognizes my voice.
Has your voice always been that?
It's always been that. So it started out as Baby Rose Marie with that voice.
And I mean, it served you well, right? I mean, you've sang.
Yeah, right.
Has there ever been a job where it was a problem? It seems like it's all...
Nope, never. People recognize me if I go into a store or something, and they say, "I know that voice."
It's very distinctive, and it's obviously been a real signature for you over the years.
I guess so, yeah.
Now, I was thinking, as I was preparing to talk to you, I feel like I know a lot about you since the Van Dyke Show, but not so much before that. You worked in radio, you worked on stage.
I started out when I was 3 years old. I didn't do anything before that. I just kind of hung around the house. But I sang, and my mother used to take me to see all the shows on 14th Street, which was the 42nd Street of today. Mm-hmm. And I went to see all the shows, all the movies, and I used to come home and imitate everybody. And we lived in a railroad flat in New York on 17th Street. And the people upstairs, I used to go upstairs and entertain them with what I saw. And they just thought it was wonderful. So they entered me in a contest at the Mecca Theater on 14th Street. And my mother said, "I don't know whether she'll do it or not." I said, "She does it at home, but I don't know whether she'll do anything in front of a big audience." And the people upstairs said, Oh, she'll do it anyway. She loves it. So they bought me the dress, which I still have, and the brocaded Mary Jane shoes, which is at the Smithsonian. And I went out and at the Becker Theater, and of course, a three-year-old singing like Sophie Tucker. I was a breeze. I won. And I ran in the wings, and somebody threw a bouquet of red roses in one arm, and somebody threw a bouquet of red roses in the other arm. Meanwhile, I heard the audience screaming, "Bring the kid back. We want the kid back. Let us sing. Bring the kid back." And I heard that, and I threw down the roses, and I said, "Hold the roses. I can't take my bow." And it's kind of been the same ever since.
I think the most amazing thing about that story is that you said you still have the dress. How do you still have the dress?
I kept the dress. My mother kept the dress. I really don't have it. It's at the Smithsonian with the shoes.
Oh, my.
They took an awful lot of my stuff because I've had basically three careers as Baby Rosemarie until I was about 14 or 15, and then I started working nightclubs and hotels and things like that and became a nightclub performer, and then between radio, had my own radio show when I was 5 years old at Coast to Coast. This is what's so funny. The program was Coast to Coast on NBC on Sunday mornings at 12:15. A piano player, an announcer, and me. That was it. And I sang three or four songs and talked to the announcer. The program was Coast to Coast, but they only had one store in New York, Julius Grossman's Shoes. And it's still there.
Really?
It's on Fifth Avenue across the street from Lord & Taylor's. That I never understood, how a coast-to-coast program had a sponsor only in New York.
It doesn't make sense today. Maybe it made more sense then.
Well, I don't know, but all I know is that it's still there, and evidently they're still doing business.
Wow. Well, you know, I want to ask you about radio, but I want to go let's go back to vaudeville for a minute. It's hard to explain vaudeville today to a kid who's grown up on cable TV and YouTube. How would you explain what vaudeville was all about and why it was so successful for a time?
Well, I was signed to NBC when I was about five. And as I told you, had the radio show every Sunday mornings. And people wrote in and said, "That's not a child. That's a 45-year-old midget. No child sings like that." And so NBC was affiliated with RKO, and RKO had theaters all across the country. So to prove that I was a child, they sent me I was on the road for about a year playing all these theaters to prove I was a child. And that was vaudeville. That was the tail end of vaudeville. And believe me, it was the greatest lesson in the world, because everybody in the shows, I mean, I worked with Edgar Bergen, I worked with Jonathan Winters, I worked with, so many people, Burns and Allen, Joan Davis, they were all in vaudeville, and evidently they felt sorry for me as a kid, and so everybody taught me how to do things. I learned how to juggle, I learned how to work a trampoline, I learned how to play yo-yo and do tricks. I learned an awful lot. Everybody was just wonderful to me.
Did you learn any bad things along the way?
Did I what?
Did you learn any bad things along the way, being among showbiz people at that age?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand you.
Did you pick up any bad habits being among showbiz
people?
No,
how would I? I didn't have a chance.
Okay.
I didn't have a chance to pick up any bad habits. Everybody was looking out for me.
Oh, that's what I was
I was a child, and they all kind of felt sorry for me and kept me busy teaching me things.
Wow.
And I was very fortunate with an education, because what I was supposed to learn in school, I was there.
Right.
The Alamo and the different places, and I learned everything by being there. It was quite thrilling.
I was fascinated.
Talk louder, please.
Yes, of course. I saw that you had told Candace Bergen that you had known her father, and that he,
oh yeah,
that she didn't like the fact that he had opened for you, though.
Well, I did three of her shows, and at one show I said, you know, I worked with your father in vaudeville when he was doing the doctor sketch. She said, well, you couldn't play the nurse. She says, you were too young. I said, no, I didn't play the nurse. I headlined. I was the headliner. And she didn't care for that too much.
Oh, that's funny. And you mentioned that you worked with Bergen.
But I still did two more shows with her. She was very nice to me.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you also worked with Burns and Allen. We know a lot about George because he was with us for so long. But what can you tell us about Gracie?
Well, Gracie was the sweetest thing that ever lived. And she was like a second mother to me. And George, of course, always called me baby till the day he died. And I was always, the funny part of it is I was always treated as an equal. They never treated me as a child, la, 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 kind of thing. They looked at me as an equal, and it was just wonderful. And I was friendly with all of them, and everybody called me baby.
Hmm. Now, I have a special interest in the radio shows of that era. My grandfather introduced them to me in the 60s and 70s, and then I would play them for my daughter when she was very young, and she would go to sleep listening to Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy and Fibber McGee and Molly, The Great Gildersleeve.
Uh-huh.
And I just wondered, what should someone listening to those shows today know about radio at that time that's been lost over the years?
I don't know, but all I know is they're getting a lot of good talent, because there is no talent today. Everything was very funny. Everything was very clean. Everything was wonderful in those days, which was proof of the pudding. The shows were big hits. There's nothing good on television now. Everything is dirty. Show your bippy and show this, and everybody's engaged, and everybody's getting pregnant and taking pictures being pregnant. That's not entertainment. That's not talent. Mm. It's not that we don't have any talent today.
What was the last good thing you saw on TV?
What?
What was the last good show that you saw on TV that you liked?
Well, I watch Law and Order. I watch NCIS. I watch Blue Bloods. I watch all these episodic shows that have some good talent in them, which are older people, not these young kids that are trying to become stars.
Right.
It's amazing because they're making millions of dollars. And when I was working on the Van Dyke Show, I couldn't make $1 million in 5 years. And they're making it $1 million an episode.
Right.
And they have no talent. Because I can't, I see them in on television, and I go, who's that? What did she do? And they all made movies, and they were all doing television episodes. I never saw so many young people with no talent in my life.
Hmm. Now, there is a show on TV that a lot of people regard as one of the smartest, you know, a very funny show that's well written, maybe in the way that the Van Dyke Show was. I wondered if you had seen Modern Family.
Can't hear you.
Have you ever seen Modern Family?
Yes, I watched that.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I do. I think that's funny.
Okay. It's very different. It's not the kind of show we would have seen when the Van Dyke Show is on, but you do like it.
Yes, I do. I do very, very much. But the other stuff, I mean, if you turn on one show and you switch in the middle of it, you'll see the continuation of the old show and the new show. They have no ideas. Mm. No, it's like just turning the dial and seeing one show. Because nobody has any fresh ideas or new ideas for... The comedy is atrocious. Mm. The comedy is not even funny. And unless it's dirty, it's not funny.
Well, let's.
I'm sorry to be so strong.
No, that's okay. I respect your opinion. Let's talk about a show that I know you think is funny, and that's the Dick Van Dyke Show. How did you get cast?
Well, that was a classic because it was well written. The cast was completely perfect for the show, and we didn't do anything that would hurt anybody or dirty or anything like that. Everything was very, very modern and very much today. I mean, you know, then.
Right.
And we had double meaning things on the show that hit on certain things that were going on in the world. And we hit on them. And it was all done in good fun. Every show is a classic.
How did you get the role of Sally?
I knew Danny Thomas years ago when he was in Chicago working at the 606 Club, and he was coming into New York. He was the new white hope of comedy. Everybody was waiting to hear the new comedy guy. And he opened up at the Martinique in New York, and I opened for him with my act. We became very good friends. His wife's name was Rose Marie, so we got along real great. And we became almost family. When he came to California, he did a television show, and my husband, who is one of the top men in town, trumpet player, did the show, and Danny became friendly with him, and he said, "You're family. You and Rosemary are family." So we were very close. And when I worked Vegas about five or six times a year, he and Sheldon Leonard would always come down to see me. And I would say, "When am I going to do your show? Make room for Daddy. Mm-hmm. You're using everybody but me." And he will always would say, "Your time will come. Your time will come." And one day I got a call from the casting office, and she said, "Go down to Desilu and see Danny Thomas." And I said, "Oh, God, I got the show." She says, "No, this is for a new show called The Dick Van Dyke Show." And I said, "What's a Dick Van Dyke?" She says, "Just go down there." So I walked in. That's the first time I met Carl Reiner. And Sheldon said, "If you want the best, get Rosemary," which I, one of the biggest compliments of my life. And I didn't read. I didn't have to do anything. The part was mine. And I said, "Who have you got for the third writer?" And they said, "Well, we haven't picked him yet." And I said, "Well, how about Maury Amsterdam?" I said, "He's a very close friend of mine. He was a writer. He still is a writer. But he's also a comic, and people in the business know him, but people of the world don't know him." So they said, "Well, we'll give him a call." I said, "He lives in Yonkers." So I came home and I called him, and I said, "They're going to call you for a new show." I said, "Call the Dick Van Dyke Show." And he said, "What's a Dick Van Dyke?" And I said, "Never mind, just get here." So he says, "I'll see you Monday." And he got the part, and that's how it was.
I had no idea that you got Maury the part. I'd never heard that.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, we've been friends since I was 11 years old. Mm-hmm. And Maury used to write all my material for my act. And it was he knew how to write for me, and he kept writing my act for me. And I'm his daughter's godmother, so we were very close.
So that sense that we got watching the show, that you two were close, you really were that close.
I really what?
You and Maury Amsterdam really were as close as it seemed.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Oh, definitely.
What do you think the secret recipe of that show was? Why do we still enjoy it so much today?
I think it was clean. I think everybody felt a part of it. Everybody looked forward to each episode because it was real. It happened to everybody in the country, and it was funny, and the characters were wonderful. It was just a perfect marriage of writing, direction, and actors. It was absolutely perfect.
I want to ask you about one more TV show. You also worked on the Doris Day Show. What was that?
That's the greatest lady in the world. She's a sweetheart. I worked with her for 3 years. We became very good friends. I still call her once in a while. She calls me. She sends me a cake. I talk to her. She lives in Carmel, and she was a pleasure to work with. Very underrated actress. Mm-hmm. She is so good and so talented that it was a shame she never got the recognition she should have.
Why do you think we've seen so little of her the last few years?
She's retired.
Well, a lot of people retire, but we still see them once in a while.
Well, she's up in Carmel. She lives in Carmel. She just made a CD of some songs or something.
Huh.
And that's about it.
Huh.
But she is very happy up at Carmel. She and her dogs. And she won't come down here at all.
Okay.
Very happy up there.
All right. Well, one more thing and we'll let you go. You're appearing at the California Women's Conference. How did you get involved in this?
What?
How did you get involved in the conference?
My agent called me and told me they invited me to go to the meeting, and I said, why? And they said, they want you on the panel. So I said, okay, and that was it.
So you'll be speaking there?
I guess so. And also, I did two Garfield cartoons. I did two voiceovers.
Really?
I played a witch.
No.
Which will probably be on in October.
Okay.
And I got a call yesterday for a new series, so I'm still going.
That's amazing. What kind of series is it?
It's a wonderful series. It's a very up-to-date series. I have to talk to the lady this week. She wants to know if I'm interested in the part and what it's all about. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Okay.
Because I don't know myself.
All right.
But what she told me, I think it could be a very funny show. And she's going to use people that know what they're doing.
Okay. Well,
going to use people in my generation.
Okay. Well, folks, listen, you can see actress Rose Marie at the California Women's Conference at the Long Beach Convention Center on September 23rd, 24th. And for more information about the event, you can go to www.californiawomensconference.com. And for more about Rose Marie, she has a website. It's missrosemarie.com.
Where are you calling from?
I'm in St. Petersburg, Florida.
You where?
St. Petersburg, Florida.
I didn't hear you.
I'm sorry. I'm in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Oh, Florida.
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
All right. Well, Rosemarie, thank you so much for being on Mr. Media today. It was a delight to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much for calling.
All right. Stay well.
Give my love to everybody.
I will. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You can see and hear almost 1,000 Mr. Media interviews by visiting our main site, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Or check out the more than 200 video interviews on the Mr. Media Radio site on YouTube. And I'd sure appreciate if you'd show some love for Mr. Media's advertisers, including Stitcher. Apple named Stitcher a top 5 news app of 2011. It's a free mobile app for your smartphone or tablet that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. You can listen whenever you want to more than 5,000 shows, get customized recommendations, and discover what your friends are listening to. My own list of Stitcher favorites is pretty eclectic. I start my day with an hour of MSNBC's Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. Then it's the latest two-minute update from the Onion News Network. After that, I'll listen to WTF with Marc Maron, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, and excerpts from E's Chelsea Lately and The Soup with Joel McHale. Also in regular rotation on my Stitcher playlist, The BS Report with ESPN's Bill Simmons, the TechCrunch headlines, and The Don Geronimo Show. The latest episodes of each show, whether originating from broadcasts, cable TV, radio syndication, or podcasts, are continuously updated. Stitcher is a free app for your iPhone, iPad, Kindle, Fire, BlackBerry, Droid, and more. And show your support of Mr. Media by getting, did I mention it's free? The app at stitcher.com/Mr. Media. That's stitcher.com/MR Media. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. We're also supported by Audible. Check out Audible's 30-day trial membership and download the audiobook version of the book everyone's been talking about, 50 Shades of Grey by E.L. James. Sign up for your free trial today at audible.com/radio. Again, audibletrial.com/radio. And finally, if you need a disc jockey for a wedding, bar mitzvah, corporate event, or just a big old party, please consider calling 1-800-DIAL-DJS, the party authority, for all your party entertainment needs. You can call 1-800-DIAL-DJS or go to their website, 1-800-DIAL-DJS.com, and tell them Mr. Media sent you. And thanks for listening.
Help! This is Barbara Eden. Mr. Media has trapped me in a bottle. Will someone please get me out of here?
Hi, this is George Kennedy. I have a book out. It's called Trust Me. You know what the book is about? The book is about me looking you straight in the eye and telling you the truth about whatever. I tried really hard to tell the truth about everything that came across my way. I hope you get a chance to look at it. Thank you.